Hard Mark Podcast.
Shrimp on the barbie. Shrimp on the barbie.
Do you respect that?
That's corruption.
I could make a fake snake.
You not pee in the pool. You not pee
on the barbie. All of myself is clean.
Broadcasting from a place that I don't know where I am, welcome to the Hard Mark Podcast, a show where I, Eric Donaldson, wrestling fan of over 30 years, introduce one match per episode to my co-host who has never watched wrestling. We talk about the backstory, we watch the match, and then we rank that match on our ever-growing list. The purpose of the show is to see what happens when someone who's never watched wrestling is introduced to its most notable matches. And without any further ado, here he comes. He's got two beautiful, beautiful feet, and he's getting ready to gang with the best of them. His name, Flyin' Ryan Murphy. Ryan, hello.
Welcome, Eric.
Welcome to me?
Yeah.
Oh, what are you welcoming me to?
I just, you know, to your podcast. I liked your introduction was good. You know, we don't know where we're you know, coming in from, but like it was nice.
We are truly on the road to nowhere here today. But Ryan, last time around, We talked, and towards the end of the recording, I asked you what you would want to see, which competitors you would want to see in a match. I think we originally actually talked about this before we went on summer break, before the birth of my beautiful baby daughter. But we're here. I'm here to make your dreams come true, Ryan. That's right. So today, with that in mind, we're going to be revisiting the rivalry between Stone Cold Steve Austin and Vince McMahon. We have seen the two compete inside of a steel cage. We just saw Austin drive his Zamboni to the ring to attack McMahon, and there's going to be plenty of other moments to relive as well. But to summarize, their rivalry was, at its core, a pretty simple one. McMahon wanted a champion that he could control as a representative of his company, and Austin was the redneck ass kicker who was not going to do what anyone told him to do. Pretty basic stuff.
Yeah. That fits.
Yeah, Ryan can sympathize with a redneck ass kicker.
I can. Yeah, being from Sultan.
Being from Gold Bar. A proud resident of Gold Bar. But during their feud, a number of wrestlers would offer their services to be McMahon's chosen champion, with some finding more success than others, as well as some being a little bit more unlikely than others. One of the more unconventional choices for a corporate champion was Mick Foley, competing at that time as his childhood creation of Dude Love.
Love it.
You see, Dude Love and Steve Austin had been tag team champions previously in an unlikely alliance. You'd probably say that if the character of Stone Cold Steve Austin had anything remotely close to being a friend, it would have been Dude Love. But on an episode of Monday Night Raw, the episode that actually broke the 83-week ratings victory streak that WCW had going, as a matter of fact, Vince McMahon and Steve Austin were set to face off in the ring for the very first time. Right before that match got started, Dude Love emerged. He claimed that while Steve Austin was one tough SOB, McMahon wrote the checks that allowed the dude to live the life that the dude liked to live. And so with all that in mind, can't we all just get along? Well, it pretty quickly became clear that no, they could not. And in a shocking act of betrayal, Dude applied the mandible claw to Austin, and Dude aligned himself with McMahon. In the coming weeks, Dude's corporate makeover would come to fruition. His hair was accented with highlights. His tie-dye outfits were complemented by sport coats. His beard was neatly trimmed into a fine goatee. And perhaps most heinously, an insert was put in to replace his missing front teeth. So all of these things were meant as a demonstration. What part? Yeah, he's gone corporate. Everyone who's corporate has front teeth. All this led to a match. All these things were meant as a demonstration of one thing. If Austin would not play ball to be a corporate-friendly champion, there were plenty of others waiting in the wings to take his place. And so all of this led to a match between the two at the next pay-per-view, Unforgiven, where Vince McMahon would sit ringside to personally oversee the contest. So bear with me for a moment. I have the link here, but I think I need to get us to the point that we want to be at. Okay, here we go. I think we're in a good spot now. So again, we're watching this kind of in the middle of everything.
Oh, dude's a dangerous man with a steel chair in his hand and back in his face.
It's super corporate. Yeah.
Very corporate, yes. Saggy stretch pants and a...
McMahon trying to help Stone Cold Steve Austin or help Dude Love.
Great wrestling right there. That's what I'm here for.
So the referee was knocked out.
Right.
So no one was there to make the count. So Austin basically was like, fuck it, I'll just count myself. Which, that's not officially, that doesn't count. But I guess they just decided to play his music so people would be happy anyway.
Yeah.
So we'll keep watching. There's a, like a little snippet of a thing that's important for this next match.
This may cost Austin big time. It's job!
It looked like a good hit. I didn't see the angle, but like it looked like a...
It wasn't... Yeah, no, I agree. I agree. It looked solid.
Yeah.
It wasn't some pussy-ass Hulk Hogan shot. It was serious.
Ladies and gentlemen, your attention, please. Stone Cold Steve Austin has been disqualified for hitting a WWF official, and the winner of this bout via disqualification, Dude Love!
This is why I love wrestling.
So there you go. That's probably an example of a match where if we sat down and watched it, you would have picked Austin. You would have been like jazzed that like he walked away and left. Yeah. But then at the announcement at the end, you were like, what the fuck? You can't just do like, yeah. So anyway, that's.
Well, how long was that match? Like, was it was it a great fight? Was it a great, like, you know, one-on-one battle?
I don't think it would be a match that people consider like one of the all-time classics or anything like that.
Okay. They just went at it for a little bit and then...
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure the match itself probably lasted like a good 25, 30 minutes or something. Okay. But it's not one that I hear talked about a whole lot. But as we saw in that clip, Austin made his own three count, which, just so we're clear, you can't do that. That's not... even in the wild world of professional wrestling, you cannot count your own three.
You know, I was watching that, and I was like, he's out. Like, I believed in his count.
It was a very authentic count. He did it. He fully committed to his own count.
Yeah.
But a referee has to count, just so we're all clear on that. But, hey, the people were happy. That's all that mattered. You got to give the fans a little bone every now and again. But technically, Austin, as we saw, was disqualified for using a chair, and Dude Love was the winner of the match. However, because he won by disqualification, he did not win the WWF Championship. You have to win by pinfall or submission to win the title. Otherwise, you win the match, you don't win the belt. So because of his victory, Dude was granted a rematch against Austin at the next pay-per-view called Over the Edge. This time, McMahon was not going to take any chances. One of his henchmen, Pat Patterson, would be the special guest ring announcer. Another henchman, Gerald Briscoe, would be the special guest timekeeper. Both of these men were put in place to ensure that Austin would not be able to go rogue like he had at the last pay-per-view. And lastly, the cherry on top, none other than Vince McMahon himself would be the special referee. And to ensure... Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I feel like this isn't the first time he's been a special referee, or like, is this, have we seen him?
We've seen one match, to my knowledge, just off the top of my head. We've seen one special referee match. That was Undertaker versus Bret Hart with Shawn Michaels as the special referee.
Oh, maybe. Okay.
And right. Shawn Michaels, basically, he ended the match by swinging a chair. He was swinging for Bret. Bret moved. Undertaker got hit in the head with a gnarly chair shot, and then that cost Undertaker the match.
What about Vince McMahon's son? Has he refereed?
We did see a clip where Shane McMahon was a special referee. Yes.
Okay. All right. That, that, yeah. Okay. All right.
And I'm sure there's plenty of other matches where Vince has been the referee as well that maybe we've seen a clip of. But this is the first one I think of where we've watched a match that like Vince was the special referee.
This is okay. And I, you know, like obviously this is part of the match, right? Like,
sure. This is
wrestling. It's nuts. You know,
this is like Roger Goodell is the,
but like, what's the, how do you even play that to like, right? Like it's a ridiculous format, obviously, right? Like you have Dude Love who's like, he's with, you know, they're, I mean, he's suited up. He's like, he's got his hands on Vince McMahon's back in that, you know?
Yes.
And then you got, you know, Stone Cold Steve Austin, you know, right? And then you have Vince McMahon. What was the talk of the match? Like were the fans like, yeah,
the storyline and the fan sentiment and everything. So like Vince was essentially stacking the deck against Austin. Dude Love,
well, he's the ref, so yes.
Yes.
He's probably
he's stacking the deck. The fans are of course very, very anti Dude Love, very, very anti Vince McMahon, very, very pro Steve Austin.
And you, I feel like a lot of McFoley's matches, he is the guy, you know, like
people yes, are really. He hadn't, but, I think this is what we're about to watch and the thing that we just saw. This is before Hell in a Cell.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And I'm not, and like, obviously, McFoley put his body on the line years before Hell in a Cell, but like, Hell in a Cell seemed to be kind of like the turning point where it's like, oh shit, right. Now things are happening. And like, this is pre Mr. Sacco, also, for example.
Oh, damn. Okay. That makes a little more sense. All right.
Yeah. So, like, I think later, at a later point, fans might have been. I think at any stage, Steve Austin was just so popular that Steve Austin was going to get cheered over just about anybody. But I think people would have been more hesitant to cheer, like, over Dude Love maybe a year or so later. But at this point, they were very firmly pro Stone Cold. Stone Cold was absolutely the good guy. Dude Love, absolutely the bad guy.
I feel like I have a really good sense of how this match is going to go.
I'm curious to hear
strongly about how I feel it's going to go, and you know,
well, enlighten the listeners. How do you think it's going to go? Now I'm curious.
Well, like, I'm like thinking, like I'm like, this is the first thought. I was like, okay, so he's refereeing the match. This is, you know, of course skewed, but like how, but like I feel like this, like he's going to get tossed around. Things aren't going to go the way he wants them to.
Talking about Vince.
Like he's going to try to, you know, kind of screw up the match, but he can't because Stone Cold's going to be so good. Like, you know, like that's what I'm thinking.
Classic Looney Tunes where like Vince is the, is Wile E. Coyote and Steve Austin's exactly. The Roadrunner.
Like, yeah.
Sure.
So I feel like it's going to, but that's, you know, I guess we'll see how it plays out, but yeah.
That's not a bad prediction. But so one other little caveat about this whole Vince McMahon referee thing. So as we saw, Steve Austin made his own count, which doesn't, you can't do that. So to ensure that there would be a clear and decisive winner, McMahon declared that the match could only end by his hand. No other referees, no one else could signify the end of the bout between Austin and Dude Love. So he's covering his bases.
Now I even know clear what's going to happen. There's going to be a hand issue thing. There's going to be a little handwork being. I see this in my head. I see what's happening.
You're just getting hornier and hornier per episode here. We're talking about all this.
Hand. Wrecked right now, Eric.
Any other thoughts before I continue with my notes?
No, I'm good.
Okay. With all these odds stacked against Austin, he managed to get one caveat over on McMahon. It was agreed upon that if somebody volunteered, that an enforcer would be allowed ringside to ensure that McMahon called the match fair and square. So would anyone have the balls to step up to the boss? We'll have to wait and see. So that's our match. It's a rematch between Steve Austin and Dude Love with Vince McMahon as referee and his cronies ringside watching in the great city of Milwaukee. So that's our notes.
First of all, two things.
Yes.
Milwaukee, that's the town that had this match. That is the perfect town and the perfect town for this match. It's great. Good stuff. And then, I maybe can't answer it, you know, but part of it, but like, is the, enforcer going to be like found out before the match? Or like
you will find out who the enforcer is before the match even starts.
All right.
Yes.
So I need,
yeah. So that will not be a mystery. You will be able to predict the winner of the match knowing who the enforcer is. That much I promise you. Yeah. Wrestle with the data. I actually did work this time around, so I don't just have your record here. I've got real concrete, some intriguing data here for you, Ryan. Mm. First, your record as it stands right now, 49 wins dedicated to his favorite team, the San Francisco 49ers. 49 wins, 38 losses, and one draw. This is the 89th match that we have watched together so far, Ryan. You are currently on a one-match losing streak. I'm sure you'll bounce back, though. In Mick Foley matches, your current record as it stands right now today, 7 wins, 9 losses.
Really?
Yes. I think, for all of his positives, for all of his great attributes,
yeah,
he tends to lose more than he wins, and so, but your heart always tends to skew towards picking Mick Foley. Yeah. So I think that's been your Achilles heel when it comes to
Mick Foley. I'm a guy with a big heart, you know.
Exactly, you're two big-hearted men, and so of course you choose him, but sometimes it just doesn't go his way. Steve Austin matches 5-2.
Big brain right there.
And then last note here, this is the second match that we've seen for Milwaukee. Coincidentally, that first match also featured Steve Austin as he wrestled Jake the Snake Roberts. That match currently ranked 53, and Ryan won that one. So that's our data. So there you go. Any other questions, thoughts, notes?
No.
All right. Let's watch this thing. We'll be right back with our thoughts on Ooh, Dude Love versus Stone Cold Steve Austin.
There is no word to describe what this next American icon has meant to all of us. Ladies and gentlemen, and children of all ages, please stand in honor of our special guest referee and the owner of the World Wrestling Federation, Vince McMahon.
All right!
First of all, he's a beer-swilling fool. He's a foul-mouthed punk.
A real ring announcer.
He's a disgrace to every human being alive today. Well, I got news for you. I am not going to introduce a bum. That's all there is.
What? Are we still on? Austin calls the referee over.
We're back. We just watched Dude Love, Stone Cold Steve Austin, WWF title on the line, Milwaukee. Ryan, what did you think of the match?
I mean, interesting, like the perspective from the starting was really good. Like the you know, everything that was going on. And then I watched the match. I was like, eh. And then I saw the ending of the match. I was like, holy shit. This is you know, this is wrestling. And I think the whole match was like, This is wrestling to a core, like, you know.
I agree with that. Like, it's not the greatest. I'm sure. So, like, looking at it from the perspective of a Mick Foley, right? If you had to wrestle that match versus wrestling, and I know this is obviously a very extreme example, Hell in a Cell, or the I Quit match versus The Rock where he got hit in the head with a chair like 13 times, whatever the fuck it was, you'd probably take this match 1,000 times over it because you're so much less beat up at the end of it. I don't think it was a great example of like Mick Foley's true talents necessarily. Like, he was kind of almost like a side figure in the whole thing, but like he played his part well, and like those last 3 minutes of that match were phenomenal.
I think Mick Foley is a guy who always plays his part to like like excellence.
Yes.
Always. Like that guy is like whatever he is meant to do in a match, he's excellent at it. You know, he's almost perfect. You know, impact my opinion on Mick Foley, win or lose. You know, this was like he did his thing here. You know,
yes, for sure.
He did it well. He did it well. Yeah. So it was. Yeah, it was a good wrestling match for sure. Yeah.
But so getting into the notes, so we had the video package just kind of detailing the story until now with Vince getting arrested. Did you feel differently about the Vince arrest versus the Stone Cold arrest that we saw after the Zamboni incident?
Well, I thought Vince was being a little bitch, you know. Whereas Stone Cold, he's like, take me, put me in the car. I've been here before. Vince is like, yeah, like, I'll apologize.
Yeah. I'll apologize. Ryan Murphy has never apologized to get out of an arrest. Let that be known right now.
I've been there before, you know.
I'll be there again.
Listen, tighten those cuffs, bitch.
Yeah, that's right. Said gold bar's finest, motherfucker.
Yeah.
And then we have the interview backstage where, again, Vince emphasizes the match can end by his hand only. And by this point, you were really doubling down on hand stuff. I think that the phrase of hand things, using his hand, etc., was used many times while you were describing
hand maneuvers.
Yeah. Yes, a lot of hand stuff. You did call it to a certain. You knew that the hand thing was going to play a factor into the end of the match, which it did, which we'll get into. But your vision for the match was more or less. I mean, I don't want to bolster your ego too much because you don't wear it well. But your vision for the match was pretty immaculate. It was pretty
like
spot on.
The shirt a little bit tighter, a little bit nicer, and you know, just a little bit more of my cut, you know.
Yeah, very very cut. Yeah. A cut mm-hmm. brother, that's what I call you. But then we get out to the ring and Pat Patterson is introduced with a list of accolades. First Intercontinental Champion of all time. He won the Intercontinental title in a tournament in Rio de Janeiro, Ryan. I don't think you knew that.
I did not.
That's not real, by the way. They made that up. There was never actually a tournament in Rio de Janeiro, but that's what they said for a long time. Pat Patterson is the special guest ring announcer. So he introduces Gerald Briscoe, loving father, devoted husband. We've got a lengthy advertisement for the Briscoe Brothers body shop as well, complete with their address and phone number. Then we get the Vince introduction. He's an American icon. He made all of our lives worth living. He's given us hope, love, understanding, and the will to say, yes, I can. I just hope that someday people speak of you in those same terms, Ryan.
I think they will.
If I outlive you, and I will, can I speak at your funeral?
Yes.
Okay. All right. That's a contract. That's we have witnesses here.
You're the only friend of mine who has a communications degree. I think you're the best fit.
It's a very exclusive degree. They don't just give those away. So as Vince is introduced, he comes out. What a great blouse. Thoughts on Vince McMahon's attire here today?
I just noticed that you look like a ref, you know, but it was just the handcuffs or the wristbands. Like that was what I noticed about him. So
my wife noticed the deep V and then the odd cut on the shoulders. It wasn't like a man's cut. It was like a blouse cut. But then I did not pick up whatsoever on the wrist. But he had like referee wristbands on to complement his zebra shirt.
It just looked like he cut out the middle, like the arm part of the shirt. You know, yes. And just like. But he also like you could tell like you know even in the interview like he wanted to like you know his guns you know like he even flexed them in the you know so I mean it made sense like but
yes
I just never seen those, you know.
So. And Vince, as he's entering the ring, trips on his way in and then like swears at Gerald Briscoe, which I'm sure was planned, and is like as much of a piece of shit as Vince McMahon is, what a goddamn performer. You can't take that away from him. He is phenomenal as an in-ring talent, just equally as horrible as a human being and a rapist. But then we got the Dude Love intro. Which you and I were talking a little bit around this point. There was a point where Dude Love, during his introduction, he's the cat that makes the kittens purr. That might be one of your titles moving forward. We'll see.
Did he say that? Did I miss it?
We were talking over it. This is in my notes when I put it together. Pat Patterson, the cat that makes the kittens purr.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. It's pretty rad. You should add that to your Hinge profile.
I'm on it right now.
I should have done
as we speak, live updates. Yeah.
So corporate dude arrives, hair in a ponytail, wearing a blazer. He's got his fake teeth in. And then I think this is the part where you, because like we haven't seen a whole lot of Patterson and Briscoe stuff. They are very funny, especially in this era. But Pat Patterson refuses to introduce Stone Cold. He's a beer swilling fool, which in the middle of Milwaukee is going to get you a response. A foul mouthed punk. A disgrace to every human being alive today.
I didn't even notice that.
You did. You're right commenting now on like how he was riling everybody up during the intros.
No,
the start.
No. What I said was like I really liked his like I like he's like this corporate guy who comes in. And he's kind of like yes, he's definitely one sided, but like that's his role, right?
Sure.
He's supposed to come in and be. But I didn't realize he was. You're right. Like
He called him a bum, and he said, "I won't even introduce this guy."
I didn't even notice that. I just was like, "Oh yeah, yeah."
Always attentive, that Ryan Murphy. Yeah, always attentive. Yeah, okay. So Austin emerges, despite getting no introduction. He emerges. People are going bananas, and as the match is ready to get started, we hear the gong, which I would have assumed by this point the gong would have been an immediate like, oh, it's the Undertaker. But Ryan didn't pick up on it until a little while after he showed up.
Okay, all right.
That's true. Tell me when I'm telling lies.
I just, you know, maybe could have left part of that out. You know, like when I saw the Undertaker, I knew it was the Undertaker.
Just,
you know, like
the same thing.
There's a lot of gongs and stuff. You know, there's a lot of
gongs and wrestling.
Pictures I got to keep track of. You
true.
Know,
so. It's just glass shattering. Gongs, and if you smell, that's all you got to pay attention to.
Right, yeah.
But Undertaker's officially the enforcer ringside. He's announced his presence as the enforcer, and then so finally we get the match started. So like that intro literally probably took like at least 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Maybe 15, somewhere in the middle there. Long intro. The match itself, I think the start is very fun because like especially so there's a shoulder tackle by Dude Love within the first minute and a half of the match where he goes for a quick pin and then Vince McMahon, 1, 2, like a really quick count. And then Austin starts reading him the riot act. And then you can see Undertaker getting up on the apron like he's going to come in and, you know, intervene physically. Yeah. And then from that point on, Vince is essentially, you know, calling it right down the middle, more or less.
Well, I'm sorry, the quick 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
Like that was, I was like, okay, this is how the match is going to go. We're going to have to they're going to have to fight this, you know, but like mm-hmm. It did even out after that for whatever reason.
Yes, for
know.
Sure. Because the Undertaker.
I don't know why he didn't just keep doing it. Like,
because the Undertaker was up on the apron and he was essentially threatening
Undertaker
Vince.
Was there for the first one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, he did it when the Undertaker was there the first time. Why not just keep doing it?
Well, because once he did it, the Undertaker went up on the apron like he was going to come in the ring, and so Vince was like, oh shit, I better not do that again because Undertaker's going to put the shit on.
Maybe I missed that too.
Like, god damn it, how many times can we say that this episode? But yeah, they make a point to once Vince gets up, like Austin's reading the riot act, and then Austin looks to his right and the Undertaker's on the apron. He's not on the ground, he's on the ring but not inside the ropes.
So yeah, no, I told you, I was like, when we were watching, I was like, yeah, he seems to be calling it fair right now. I missed the whole Undertaker, like, intimidation.
It's because of that. He was not going to call it fair until the Undertaker was like, listen, motherfucker.
Fair after that.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. That changed everything. Right.
All right.
We have the Vince's gay chant. That's 1998 in a nutshell, apparently.
Brutal in 98, you know?
Yeah, so there you go. That's what, yeah. Dude Love's fake teeth get knocked out. They get stalked by Austin, and then Austin throws the teeth into the crowd. What a fun souvenir for somebody that must have been. And then, so, moves-wise, there was not a whole lot during this match that I heard you specifically comment on as, like, that was a great move or anything like that. Yeah. The one thing I heard you comment on, so there's a point where Dude Love gets thrown into the ropes, bounces back. Austin hits him with the big Luthez press, which is where you basically jump on the guy and just start punching him in the face. Then immediately afterwards, Dude Love gets clotheslined out over the top rope to the outside. That was like the one thing that happened that you were like, that was a great sequence.
Well, it was a good sequence, but also like they caught an angle for like sometimes you see these punches and you're like, god damn it, like, you know, just pissed me off a little bit. But like, they cut a really good angle of that, and then like for him to just like ride out of the ring, it was it was a good series. I did like it. Yeah, I was, but I don't think there was much as far as moves outside of that that was were great.
And to that point, after Dude Love gets clotheslined over the top rope, Austin is then thrown shoulder first into the 18-ounce steps, which, as a aside to you, fuck you.
Once again.
Do you know how heavy... Hold on, shut up. Do you know how heavy 18 ounces are? Is?
Do I know how much 18 ounces is?
Yes.
It's a little over a pound.
You're correct. 16 ounces is a pound. Yes. So it's 1 pound, 2 ounces.
There are 1 pound of stairs.
Okay, listen. I'm not saying they're 18 ounces. You said they were 18 ounces last time.
Oh. Why did I pick 18 ounces? Is like a weird number to land on.
You're the... Yeah, no shit. I agree. You said it. I didn't say it. This come from your own chicken lips. I'm just using your own statements against you.
I mean, yeah. They didn't look any like heavier. They just look like, I bet like they, you know, there's a bunch of wrestling fans like, these fucking foil ass stairs are really dumb looking. And then they took them and they hooked them on. So like when you hit, it was still light, but they just, because they stayed, the stairs stayed. That's all.
I think they're approximately 30 pounds a piece. And it's two stairs.
Just you could throw a 30-pound set of stairs at me and I'd be fine.
If there's any independent wrestling folks that people know that can fucking call me. Right.
Hey, Eric, have I ever backed down from a challenge I made?
Tony Tate throws
the candlestick. Was I there? Did I survive that and come back better? Yes,
when was the last time you picked up 30 pounds?
30 pounds in a dumbbell is different than 30 pounds in a full staircase, you know? Like, 30 pounds, that's spread out. You can hit me with that.
Are you allowed to put your hand up?
Yeah, I'm allowed to defend myself.
Yeah. I disagree. Okay, we'll move on, but I'm going to keep this in mind for future live Hard Mark events that may or may not be happening. But, yeah, so there's some Russian leg sweeps, etc. One of my favorite bits of the match is as they're kind of brawling outside, over time, more and more things are like reminded to people. So like Vince McMahon goes up to Pat Patterson, who's again the special guest ring announcer, and hey, remind them that there's no disqualification. Remind them that falls count anywhere, like that type of thing. And so just as a reminder, this match is falls count anywhere. And so the rules get changed over the course of the match to favor Dude Love.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is
I agree. That's part of why I like this match, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
Just a little, yeah.
Dude eventually uses the mandible claw. Again, not Mr. Sacco. This is pre Sacco. Sacco is not invented just yet.
Straight hand. It's raw dogging.
He's just Dude Love is really raw dogging Stone Cold's throat. And then dude does the hangman. He basically ties himself in the ropes in a guillotine and is just hanging there for, I don't know, 10, 15 seconds, something like that, which, as I mentioned, that's how he lost his ear in Germany. Now, granted, the ropes in that match in Germany were way tighter and they were actually steel cables. The WWF has always used ropes, so it's a little bit looser.
I remember you said that and I was like, I was like, is he going to lose his ear here?
we watched where he lost his ear. It's been a while, but we've seen it. So, like, that was one of our mini-sodes that we did. But, yeah.
Oh, God, my eyes are bleeding, Eric.
No, it was not. No, not that. It was not the lightning round. But eyes were bleeding. I like how it went from my eyes were sweating to my eyes were bleeding. But, no, like, in a match in Germany, he did that exact same move where he went over the top rope and then his head was caught in between the two ropes. And because the ropes were so tight, when he pushed himself out, the rope like slid against the side of his head and pushed his ear off of his head.
Can I make a quick statement outside of wrestling right here? If I was going to lose something.
Yes.
I would prefer to be an ear. Like one ear off me, no big deal. I have one other ear, you know?
True.
And if I was going to lose, not like any part of my body, I would take one ear. Yeah.
Over a toe?
Yes.
Really? Why? Like even over your pinky?
I think potentially, I guess maybe it depends on which toe, but from like it's, you can lose balance, you know, like
you don't think there'd be any detriments to you losing in the year.
Let me also say that, like, I'd prefer to be married first when I lost this year, you know, like I don't want to be out there, you know, those are a fake ear, you know, like on my,
right.
But if I, let's say I'm married, I'm fully set. Yeah. I think I'd rather lose a ear. Cause like, you know, it's just one ear. Like,
I'm trying to think about it. I'm pretty sure Mick Foley was married when he lost his ear.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. And Mick Foley's wife seems like a wonderful,
she's a model. She was, I mean, not anymore, but she used to be a model.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Yeah.
So
there you go. It can happen to you. But so we got the guillotine. They start throwing each other onto the commentary desk, which that's when the reminder, it's just a reminder that there's no disqualification. Then Dude Love chokes Austin with the cord, which you asked me if it was a fake snake, which it definitely was. And then probably my favorite move of the match was when Dude Love is perched on the barricade, Austin throws a clothesline and he basically just goes ass over tea kettle over the barricade and splats onto the concrete. That just looked fucking vicious. Like, what highlight of the match for me as far as like Mick Foley bumps, I think. Do you know what I'm talking about? Or are you trying to think back?
I feel like I missed.
He was sitting on the crowd barricade, right?
Yeah.
And Austin clotheslined him, and he just like goes head in the over heels into the crowd.
I remember just, your reaction to that too. Like, yeah,
it looked fucking brutal. But then they go back into the ringside area, and then they start brawling into the cars, which WWF used to have sets where it was like kind of always unique per pay per view. They more or less have gone away from that now. But yeah, it was a number of like old beat up cars in this particular set. So like Austin got backdropped onto one, Mick Foley got thrown into one, etc. You're shaking your head.
I was not a fan of it. Like I thought for sure
like a lot of them were very well protected. However you feel about that. My wrestlers to live. I don't know how Ryan feels about it, but the one that I thought for sure would get a reaction out of you was when Austin gets backdropped. So basically, like, you know, Dude Love lowers his shoulder and then flips Steve Austin behind him. Austin basically takes a backdrop where his back lands on the hood of the car and his foot hits the windshield. I thought for sure that would get a reaction. It didn't. And then I was like, maybe he just didn't see it. And then they showed the replay and still no reaction. And I was like, well, I'm not going to belabor the point, but this seems a little odd.
It just seemed like highly orchestrated to like crack the, I know the windshield was already a little busted, but like, it just seemed like it was, we're just going to hit your back and then slam your feet into that to make it crack more. It didn't impress me. Like, you know, if you're going to throw him into a car, throw his whole body into the windshield, you know, like.
You were like, really the Shania Twain of wrestling.
Because
that don't impress me much. Ow, ow, ow.
Oh, actually, that's fair. Okay, yeah. All right, I'll take that. Yeah.
Okay, so you got 18 dicks.
I thought Shania Twain was involved somehow and just kind of like, but like,
She wishes. She wishes she could have been in with that stone cold love machine and getting thrown downstairs. But where did I leave off? Oh, okay. So yeah, they're doing. Was there any car element that you liked at all, or no? You're just
no, because even the muffler thing, he dropped the muffler. Like, you know, like you're just.
I saw the muffler. I agree. The muffler thing was stupid. He hit him one time, dropped it. I wasn't.
Was not highly impressive. Like the car thing. I was happier when they got back into the ring.
You didn't even appreciate when Austin, when they were on top of a car, Austin goes for a stunner. He gets shoved off and then basically does like a belly flop onto a different car. Like that part you didn't like either.
I didn't really care for
it. Fucking tough crowd over here, Shania.
Yeah, actually, upset. My blood pressure's rising a little bit now.
It doesn't take that much for you. I've seen your diet. But they start brawling back up to the ring. Austin's now bleeding officially. Yeah. He's now bleeding. Some back and forth, and this is really where the match I think gets really good. It's when they go back into the ring, and then like the Patterson and Briscoe and McMahon, you know, Their attempts at screwing Austin really comes into play real hard. So Patterson literally hands Dude Love a chair, and he lights Austin up with a shot to the back. A pretty good chair shot, I'd have to say.
Yeah.
Then he hits the double arm DDT on the chair. Austin kicks out at two. Then we have a leg up. One of the greatest legs up of all time to the chair. Austin then grabs it. He accidentally hit himself with the chair.
I feel like it wasn't even like intense, but like,
no, it definitely wasn't.
Covered so quickly, like, you know,
yes,
it was like
he was just ramped up. I mean, granted, anyone with like 15,000 people like chanting and cheering the fuck for you, like, you're gonna be like, your adrenaline's gonna be going. So like, a lot of times in wrestling, they'll like hit the chair on the ground, which I think there's a purpose for it, but I can't remember what it is off the top of my head. He didn't hit the ground with the chair; he hit the rope, which, as it turns out, the ropes are somewhat springy, and somebody hit the rope and then hit him in the face, but he just no-sold it. He didn't register at all. And then he hits Dude Love in the face with the chair. But then Vince McMahon, who's supposed to be impartial special guest referee, he refuses to count, and so they have a little bit of a standoff. Meanwhile, Dude Love grabs the chair, takes a swing at Stone Cold, hits Vince in the chair with a hell of a fucking chair shot. Then we have a new ref runs in. Pat Patterson, he takes his ass out. Dude Love puts the mandible claw on Austin. And then Patterson goes to count one, two. Undertaker grabs him out of the ring, choke slams him through an announce table. Again, and then Dude Love's like, Briscoe, get in here. Briscoe goes to count. He gets drug out of the ring. Same thing. Eats a fucking choke slam. And then we have a Stone Cold Stone Cold Stunner after a ball shot. And then, hey, there's no referee. What do? Hey, the match can only end by Vince
McMahon.
Handwork. Vince McMahon gets his carcass drug over to Austin. Austin grabs Vince's hand. One, two, three. Match is over.
I think the Undertaker right there was like, for how well he, like, there's been a lot of dumb performances in wrestling that I've seen, like a lot of shit that just looks stupid and is not, like, the way he took like big names and just dragged them out, grabbed by the neck, threw them on to, like, you know, where they were announcing or calling the match, and then just boom, not one, two, you know, and just, he's kind of like not a guy who's like making a big deal about himself there. He's just like, he's doing his job, you know, like
he's the enforcer.
He did it in it that. It just, I really loved the way that match ended, really a lot. And then, so I just think it was solid on all parts. And then, you know, for Stone Cold to grab the hand, you know?
Yeah.
Like just good stuff.
Yeah, very cherry on top of the sundae. This match kind of reminds me of the Bret Hart Shawn Michaels or Bret Hart Undertaker match with Shawn Michaels as a special ref, because, like, the match itself, like, I think that match might have been a little bit better. But it was somewhat drug in the middle, but the end was so good. And like the end of this match, also excellent. And like, if you have to have one part of your match good and the rest of it not as good, you want it to be the end, because that's, you know, that's people's lasting impression of the match, I think. But that's it. Any other comments, concerns about this thing?
No, I'm good.
Let's rank it.
I don't know if this is on the pot, but I had a huge issue converting a PDF into a Google Docs document. I don't know if you've seen that.
Are you asking me for my advice, or what do you?
I'm just asking if you've seen it. Like, I don't know.
I've never tried a PDF into a Google Doc. I can imagine that would be difficult.
It just makes it look all wonky. Like, it just doesn't convert very well. It's not a huge deal. I'm on Google Sheets right now, so that's
good.
I really like this match. I think it, like, I think I would put it in the top 25.
Okay. So you're talking about, we're talking minimum of great.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
I mean, it's probably not fucking amazing, but probably in great then.
Yeah. I think it's on like probably the, I don't know, like 15 to 25, 24-ish range, something like that. Like,
so, okay. You know what? You and I, a lot of times I give you shit, and rightfully so, because you deserve it. Take your lumps and enjoy it. But I literally just compared this match that we just saw to another match, Undertaker versus Bret Hitman Hart, which is currently ranked 22. And so I think you and I are somewhat simpatico in our thought process.
Okay, good. Well, it's about, you know, I mean, I'm glad for, you know, I finally have made a call that fits in with a, you know, a long time wrestling fan.
And as a matter of fact, so we got that, which is another special referee match, which also has a really great ending. Me personally, I think today's match was not as good as that other one, but, you know.
Again, like, not being able to, like, fully, I don't know exactly what's up, but I just, like, I'm kind of like putting it in here. We got another Stone Cold. I mean, Stone Cold versus Owen Hart. Did I really appreciate that, or I get it? Like,
So I know a lot of these matches you're not going to remember.
Yeah,
that one you will. I don't think that match was especially great. However, that is the match that ended with Stone Cold being dropped on his head and nearly paralyzed.
Oh, that was yeah.
And then underneath Undertaker versus Bret Hart, Hitman Hart. So we got Sting versus Cactus Jack, which again, Cactus Jack is Mick Foley. That was a Falls Count Anywhere on the Gulf Coast match, which was what I think wrestling wise was a much better match, but story wise didn't have nearly the story that today's match is. And then the last of the great matches currently is Sabu versus Terry Funk. That was the barbed wire match where the ring ropes were replaced with barbed wire.
You know, just to kind of like throw a shot at you and
that's completely unnecessary, but okay.
Well, I mean, just to do that and then because I don't really know fully where to put this, I'm going to put it in the new number 21. So I'm going to bump Hulk Hogan, Vince.
Do you remember what that match was?
I mean, you want to give me a brief? If you give me a good briefing, maybe I can summarize it
in one sentence.
Okay.
That was the Battle in Seattle.
Battle of Seattle.
WrestleMania 19 in Seattle, Safeco Field.
I think this is a perfect place to bump out then. All right, I'm tired of this Battle of Seattle.
You were so excited about the Battle of Seattle. Okay, fine.
I was, but, you know, like, if you guys are going to disrespect, you know, the attendance record, then I think it's a perfect place.
Disrespect? If anything, they paid it more respect because the Mariners haven't been able to respect it to the level.
Yeah, you disagree. I really don't know. Like, this is what's hard about these matches. I think, like, if we were to redo this podcast,
please.
If we watched, what, 80 something matches, and it's just.
Every third time that we do this, I love to hear your ideas of how you would redo it in a better way.
All I'm saying is, like, I think we could, if we did a points base, like, you rate it, like, you know, 8.2 or something, you know, then we could have. That would have been easier because it's hard, like, you know, but I have an idea of where these stand, where I like to put them, you know, but it's just like in between specific matches, like, very difficult. I'm like, fuck, I might have really liked that match. But, you know, right now I'm going to put it there just to bump Hulk Hogan a little bit, you know.
Maybe you should take a lesson to yourself and learn how to do this shit.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
I'm also correctly ranking your matches, and more news will be developing about that.
Oh, are you?
I am. More.
Oh, that will actually be an interesting thing to look at.
Yeah. More information coming soon. I haven't decided what I'm going to do exactly, but I've started that process. All right. We got to finish this thing. I hear my baby crying, and my wife is very much needing a break, and I need to eat pizza. Yeah. So there's a lot of reasons why it is now time. For Eric's Wisdom Tree. Shania Twain.
Don't impress me much.
I'm just going to get right down to the nitty gritty. This is hard.
Get right down to it.
No one can argue this. It sucks that phones don't have headphone jacks anymore.
Oh yeah. I mean, Eric, I have nothing to say except agreement on this one. I'm so fucking... I don't. What was the point? You know, I don't know.
Okay. Stop clicking it because I hear you clicking a bunch of times.
I am.
But you are worked up. I get it. I'm also worked up about this. The same situation. Yeah, yeah. But the reason that the T-Mobile guy gave me was because they're trying to make phones more waterproof, which sounds to me like complete bullshit. Here's the real reason. From where I sit. Go ahead.
No, I mean, you have to buy an extension cord now. They'll know a little piece, you know, and then hook it into that piece. So that's a little extra, like, revenue.
What do you mean? an extension cord.
Well, you can hook in like to your USB port. You can hook in like a headphone jack.
Oh, you can?
Yeah.
Fuck.
I have one.
God damn it! I didn't know that was a thing.
Well, it's not great, Eric. It still sucks ass because it can just be a part of your phone, like.
Right.
Yeah.
I just thought you had to go Bluetooth this whole time.
Win on them. It's so fucking bullshit. Like, I'm just saying you can do it. Like,
huh. I didn't even know that was an option. I mean, thinking about it, like.
You thought there was no more headphones in your device. You had Bluetooth or something?
Yes. I bought fucking Google whatever.
Oh, damn. No.
Yes.
Hey, it's it's still bullshit. I'm not defending them because you can do it. That still sucks. But I'm just saying, yes. You can. I'll send you a picture of mine. But yeah, you can do that. But like, fuck them for doing this. I totally agree with your point. It's not even an argument. You know, I'm with you 100%.
Wow. Okay. I'm looking up to this right now because unlike you, when somebody gives me a quality recommendation like this, I'm all for it. But Okay. All right. I think I'm seeing what you're talking about. Yeah. I had no idea. Like, yeah, no, so for my phone now, because I didn't realize that this product existed. I just went with the whatever they call, they're not AirPods, but the Google equivalent of AirPods.
Yeah, you can do that.
And they're like $100, and it's like, I will lose them. There's no way that I can't not lose them at some point. Like, I've already, a lot of times I'll sleep with them in, and then it's like, I wake up in the morning, it's like, well, we'll see if that AirPod shows the fuck back up at any point.
My buddy bought me like a amazing pair of like Sony headphones, like in your ears, noise canceling,
yeah,
Bluetooth connected on a plane. I had it for a year and I love them. And it was such a nice gift, you know, like,
yeah.
And on a plane, one time I lost them and I stayed on until everyone cleared the plane so I could like dig under the seat, and I found it. The second time I could not, like, I fell asleep and I just like, you know, hit my head on the thing when I fell on the. And my headphone, boom, gone. Like, I'm like, it's gone. I looked for it. I couldn't find it. It had ruined, you know?
Yeah.
Really sad day. If they had been connected to my ears via, you know, a port, I would have been.
Via a port. Well, maybe the wisdom tree in this case is you can get earbuds that go through.
If there's anything I could agree with you the most on, this would be it. Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, good. Good point.
It saddens me every time because I specifically, like, I got a Roku remote because, like, I'll watch TV before bed and I don't want to wake up the baby or my wife. And so, the Roku remote has a little plug-in for the headphones. And now my phone doesn't even fucking have that. So it's like complete bullshit. I remember even asking the T-Mobile guy and he was like, oh, well, they're trying to make phones more waterproof, which I know is bullshit. Don't bullshit a bullshitter T-Mobile guy. But here we are. And we have all these phones that don't have fucking headphone jacks. So do better.
A little bit more revenue for T-Mobile. That's all we want. Yeah, that's what we really, we want a little bit more money going to them, you know.
Really quick aside, because this is not this is not a note that I have or anything like that. And I know you're doing pizza, and I'm probably going to do pizza here momentarily. And my wife desperately needs a break. Mint Mobile. What the fuck's with Mint Mobile? Should we all be switching to Mint Mobile? Is there a reason we're not switching to Mint Mobile?
Well, good question. I think they're on like T-Mobile's network, but like I don't think they have all the same services that T-Mobile has. Like
I don't use that many services.
Well, I think they have access to T-Mobile towers. I don't know how many, I don't know where, but it's really cheap, right? Like, so there's got to be a downside.
I'm trying to save money. I've got a daughter. I'm a parent now.
Eric, you're a rich guy. You sold your Wave shares, and you're just a loaded guy who's being a little cheap. All right.
Rumpus time. Needs to be. I need to spend some time talking about like parent stuff because I haven't done that yet, and I've been shocked by the financial impact and the economic and the environmental impact of this whole process. So eventually we'll get into that, but probably not today because we're basically done. But anything else, Ryan? You want to say about headphones, or are you gonna play with your? I don't want to dead name your cat. But I always think of her as Penne.
It's not Penne. Fuck that. No. Her name is Gabby, short for Gabriella. I call her Gab sometimes.
Would you consider Alfredo as an option?
God damn it, Eric. No.
Okay, he won't. Okay. Just say no. Just say no. You don't need to swear. Right. Just say no.
You know how I feel about pasta, you know? Soup, unlimited soup, pasta, and breadsticks, you know?
Soup, salad, and breakfast. Soup, salad, and breakfast.
I can't win, all right?
We're both a little under the weather drinking-wise. But we'll be back probably about a month. Seems like it's been about that. But maybe sooner. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. But follow us on Instagram, the Twitter, Hard Mark Podcast. Like us on Facebook. Ryan, he's on TikTok. RJ Murphy, 1922. Follow his NPC content. What was the Hungarian thing again? I'm never going to remember.
Shigedra. Good way to sign off.
What is it?
Agishagaja.
Did I do it right?
Agishagaja. I'm saying that somewhat properly, but that's the gist of it.
Agishagaja.
Yeah. Agishagaja.
If you're not hard, Agishagaja. Once you get hard, Agishagaja. That's all, folks.
There's going to be a little handwork.